The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is God's wrath that is spoken of in John 3:36, and it talks about God's wrath abiding on someone? John 3:36, let's look at it today here on Grace in Focus. We are glad that you're with us for another episode. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society at our website, faithalone.org. While you're there, look for our magazine. It's a free subscription, and the name of the magazine is Grace in Focus. It is full size and full color, done with lots of excellence. We want you to have it. Subscribe and receive it free, all except for postage if you live outside the lower 48 United States. Otherwise, it is free. Find the magazine and more about us at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, Bob, today we have a question or a comment from one of our YouTube audience, and he or she may be asking here on John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And the question here is, what is God's wrath in John 3:36? Thank you, and God bless you.
Yeah, okay, so good question, and this is from a YouTuber.
Yeah, YouTube comment here.
Yeah. First off, I think we need to ask the question, who is saying this? The New King James suggests that this is being said by the Apostle John, and it starts in verse 27 and goes all the way to verse 36. And Zane Hodges, in his commentary on John 1 through the middle of chapter 6, Faith in His Name, suggests that John 3:22 to John 3:36 is all about the witness of John the Baptist, whether it's quoting him or talking about him. But a number of translations think that John the Baptist's words end at what, verse 30?
Yeah, verse 30.
So, like, I think that's the NET Bible, the
ESV, and the Holman Christian Standard Bible.
And even the NIV, right?
Yeah.
Although that depends on what year it was.
Yeah, I guess the NIV, you'd call it, has a flip-flop. In 1978, they ended with verse 36, the quote. But then in 2011, they've now moved it to end with verse 30.
Right. And you may say, well, what difference does it make? It's all inspired scripture. And that is true. But I think it does make a difference from the standpoint that these are the words of John the Baptist, not the words of the Apostle John. And that's important because this whole section of John 3:22 to 36 is talking about a man who came to the light and was confessing Christ publicly, and he was a prime example of that. And so I think, first of all, we need to recognize these are the words of John the Baptist.
Because also, I guess here Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, right? Is that?
Well, in John 3, 1 through 21.
21, okay. And then it's in, I guess, John the Baptist's statements are in light of what's going on in John 3.
Is well, and we're not sure exactly, why John is making these remarks.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't aware of what Jesus said to Nicodemus, but the Holy Spirit obviously was. And what's interesting is John 3:36 has some parallels with John 3:18. What does 3:18 say there?
He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
So the condemned already part is in some ways similar to the wrath of God abides in him in verse 36. Mm. Now, when he's talking about condemnation, he's thinking great white throne judgment, and there's going to be a negative assessment of the person whose name is not in the book of life, right? Anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But this verse is saying that in verse 36, that the wrath of God abides on him. And in the New Testament, the idea of the wrath of God is always temporal. That is, it's in time. It's not referring to eternity. I remember when I wrote Confident in Christ, the first edition of Confident in Christ, I was writing that the book of Romans talks about God's temporal wrath, not his eternal wrath. And I remember Zane Hodges pointed out to me, there's not a single verse anywhere in the Bible that suggests God's going to be angry forever. Hodges' view is that God's wrath ends with the end of the millennium or the end of the Great White Throne Judgment, and that all that goes on in the lake of fire is justice, but not wrath. God is not eternally angry or eternally wrathful. In any case, the wrath of God abiding on the unbeliever is that's where the unbeliever is living. They're living in the sphere of wrath, or it's also called the sphere of death. And sadly, a believer can also be living in that sphere, even though in his position he's no longer experiencing the wrath of God. Romans 1, 16, 17, 18, all the way to 32 suggests that a believer can experience God's wrath. And like Romans 5, 9, and 10 says, the believer is saved from God's wrath in this life if the believer is spiritually minded, not carnally minded, because Romans 8, 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I think you have the same basic idea here with John the Baptist.
So is it fair to say that wrath means being captive to the power of sin in one's life?
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
So is it fair to say that wrath means being captive to the power of sin in one's life? Is that...
Well, I think it includes that, but I think wrath basically means anger, and with the anger of God abiding on the person, it's because of what you just said. It's because the person is still a slave of sin, and they're not set free from sin's bondage. So that's why God's anger or wrath abides on him. But notice the earlier part of John 3:36. How does that go again, Mike?
He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life.
Okay, so he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And then the he who does not believe the Son... Actually, in the Greek, it's a different word. It's not pistuo, it's apatho, which means to disobey, basically. And some translations, I think the New American Standard says, he who does not obey the Son shall not see life. And the leading Greek dictionary for New Testament, BDAG, suggests that the ultimate act of disobedience was to not believe in the Son. Because the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give the message of everlasting life. And so if you don't believe what the Son says, you're actually disobeying the Father.
Right.
And therefore, that means the Father's wrath abides on you.
Mm-hmm. So all unbelievers, no matter how moral their lives may be, they still are under God's wrath.
Yeah, now that's a good question, because as you were reading that earlier, I was thinking about Cornelius.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 10,
yeah.
And he's called a devout man, and his prayers and alms ascended to God, and God sent an angel to him to tell him to send for Simon Peter. So I'm wondering if what John the Baptist is speaking here is proverbially true, that God's wrath abides on him, but there are exceptions, because it seems hard to think that God's wrath was abiding on Cornelius and his household while they were devout and they were seeking God and God sending an angel to them. Or I think of Lydia in Acts 16. She's at the place of prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's seeking God and God opens her heart, Acts 16:14, that she might heed what Paul and Silas were saying.
Yeah.
And so I tend to think this is proverbially true, that God's wrath abides on them, but there could be exceptions. But I don't know. You just raised a monkey wrench in the whole thing.
Or can you explain what you mean by proverbially true?
Well, okay, proverbially true, you know, the book of Proverbs gives a whole bunch of proverbs. And proverbially true means something which is true most of the time, but it doesn't mean there aren't exceptions. Like, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's proverbially true, but it's not 100% true.
True, yeah. We know of parents who've done a really good job with their kids, but unfortunately their kids have still gone astray.
Right. And you also have David saying, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the children of the righteous begging bread. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be 100% true, but that may be proverbially true. It seems like there are, for example, people in Mumbai who are living in cardboard shacks who come to faith and are living righteously, and yet their children are out there begging bread. So something proverbially true is something which is something you can count on, that's, you know, true most of the time, but there are exceptions. Like, for example, the believer is one who is going to live a full life if they are faithful, but there are exceptions. Jesus died before age 40. James, the Apostle James, was probably in his 40s when he was martyred. There are exceptions to where God sometimes takes the lives of faithful believers prematurely. And it's no proof that you're out of fellowship with God if you die before age 70. You know, some charismatics will say that. They'll say, wow, if you're faithful, you're gonna definitely live beyond age 70. Not necessarily. That's proverbially true. Sure. So in any regard, I think what John is saying here about the wrath of God abiding on him is true while the person is actively opposed to God and that sort of thing. But there are unbelievers who are on the cusp of coming to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, I even think of the rich young ruler who went away sad. And it's like, is the wrath of God abiding on that one? Because he did seem to be reaching out to Jesus. And, you know, you have situations where you have people where Jesus says, this one is not far from the kingdom. I tend to think the wrath of God doesn't abide in those cases. But that's a good question. That's another good thesis topic or dissertation topic. Right. I don't know.
But I guess in summary, what is absolutely true is wrath here doesn't mean hell or bound for the lake of fire.
Right. Wrath simply means temporal, in now, right now. What's clear is the unbeliever does not have everlasting life.
Right.
The wrath of God abiding on him is one of the consequences of not having everlasting life.
All right, and let's all
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, Ken Yates interviews an attendee to our most recent national conference. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.